enabling the cybersecurity framework from Executive Order 13636 to be a living, breathing organism that continues to grow. We'll be launching what we call the voluntary program on 14 February, enabling companies of all sizes to follow some basic cybersecurity policies and due care that have been designed through the framework by the best scientists from the private sector and government that we have, looking at how we can incentivize companies, again, of all sizes, to be more secure, to enable big companies to share their best practices, to drive markets for small to medium, to enable economies of scale for companies that are smaller and might not be able to afford good cybersecurity to now have very good cybersecurity, to have a cybersecurity policy. When I say adopt the framework, that's to voluntarily either improve your cybersecurity posture, follow some of the recommendations, engage in our website portal, even if it's just to look at a critical infrastructure resilience review. No need to report to us, but we want companies of all sizes, federal government and state and local, to be more secure. And we are committed to doing everything we can to get that framework adopted. And that means helping companies not only adopt policy, but drive markets to make good technology. And all that comes back to a DHS core tenet, trust, privacy, and civil liberties, where through the programs that we build, which is another of my top priorities, looking at how we can engage not only our perimeter defense, but our network defense. So you've heard of programs like Einstein at the Perimeter, Enhanced Cybersecurity, which is perimeter security with classified information, protecting critical infrastructure and private sector, and then continuous diagnostics and mitigation, which is an ongoing measurement of network security, which should replace the 50-pound binder that could be a doorstop. So again, the priority is looking based in trust, what DHS knows, sees, and collects with full privacy and civil liberties adherence, how we roll that into our programs, how protecting government makes us smarter to help us protect critical infrastructure. We create an ecosystem, and all that goes back to the trust of our stakeholders. We are the lead civilian agency with this mission, and we will be building that common operating picture for cybersecurity for all.
Thank you for giving us a little heads up on that February 14th launch of the voluntary program. When you first started talking about it, the first thing that came to my mind was kind of the DHS took over the what they used to call the Defense Industrial Base Program, the DIB. But this is obviously something very separate than that. Yes. This is related exactly, as you said, to the executive order from February of 13 now. Talk a little bit more about the voluntary program. It seems like there's three different pieces to it. Can you go through it again a little bit more in detail?
One of the things that the executive order asks government to do is it tasked NIST and DHS with working with the private sector to create a cybersecurity framework. And now that that has completed, DHS has the responsibility of rolling out a voluntary program in which entities, again, of all sizes would adopt those practices. And by adoption, we mean participation. This is not regulation. We actually want this to drive the security market to help create and help companies innovate and make money, which they love to do, by creating ways to make products and services affordable for companies that probably can't afford it now, for companies that might not even consider security now. I know from my previous life in private sector that you'll find in state and local that they know they have a lot to protect. They have our data, they run infrastructure, and very often they just can't afford good security, and they know it, and that's a terrible position to be in. On the flip side, on the small to medium businesses, many don't even realize that they have intellectual property, personal information, customer information that they have to protect. So what we want to do is make that affordable across, because all of those not only protect information, but they are suppliers and consumers of the larger companies. And as part of the cyber ecosystem, any one part that's not secure endangers all of us. What I would like to see with the teams is to have wide mass adoption of the voluntary program. Just as we did with the flu, taught people to wash their hands better, we would like you to protect your networks more carefully so that we actually make cyber attacks harder for the adversary. And that does two things. It makes us safer, of course. It makes us more resilient. We do cybersecurity, and this is very important to us at DHS, we do cybersecurity for infrastructure resilience, to make our way of life safer. But the second thing we want to make sure that we cover is by removing some of the noise, the common attacks, and simply having better practices, we free up the best minds in the world in security to hunt for the worst adversaries. And those two things together will make us more resilient because we make it less opportunistic.
All right, so that was a fascinating kind of analogy with the flu. And I think it's key as well to ensure people understand this is not regulation. I know that it's a big hiccup in Congress, between Congress and the administration, over where they go with legislation. What are the ways that the people can volunteer? You said they could at least come to the site and see what's going on. Is this the type of thing where you have to sign up? Is it just you could go to a website? Do you have a sense of how that's going to work yet?
Absolutely. We'll have a portal resource both on the U.S. CERT site and off the DHS main page. We'll also be making available critical infrastructure resilience reviews, so a form you can download and determine on your own how secure you are from a critical infrastructure perspective with cyber as the nexus. Again, you don't have to sign up. This is not regulation. We don't even have to know that you participated. We want you to participate because it makes you and our country and our global fabric safer. If you want to tell us you participated, great. You don't have to. But what we're hoping this will drive is when you learn how secure you are or not, when you improve on a security policy or in some cases create one, when you make better practices for cybersecurity internally, you end up taking that to the boardroom as an entity, and that raises the level of cybersecurity consideration. What we're also trying to be very cognizant of is that while these are all good things, companies can't just do something because it's good. So we want to make sure that we have incentives. The White House has mentioned a number of incentives ranging from cyber insurance to tax incentives to grants for which you can apply. We're also working very hard at DHS and should hopefully have some announcements in the next few weeks on other things that we can offer to companies to make you more secure in conjunction with, again, following some simple policies. It could be as easy as improving your security policy, participating in the program. But there is absolutely no obligation to tell us. There's no regulation. And this is all about, this is very important to me, coming from the private sector, enabling the best minds in our community, many of which are in private sector, to drive ways to innovate. Go make money, go build business, and build a business around making us all safer.
I'm going to switch gears on you for a second. We talked about DHS's role in terms of helping to secure federal networks has grown immensely. The current big project is the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program. Start with the status of that, and then let's talk about Einstein a little bit, please, as well.
So Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation, just taking a step back, is a concept that turns every network where it's applied into its own ecosystem. As traffic flows through that network, the different components that see the traffic and send it to its next place can make a determination of the harm or lack of harm in that traffic. So you've created an organism so that it always knows how healthy it is. You don't have to write a book about it every year and claim how healthy it is. It constantly knows. And this helps you because when it's not healthy, you see it and you fix it. The other beauty of many agencies running CDM, which is the goal soon, is that they can, if they choose to, share information with each other about what they see. And they can, again, if they choose to, share that back with the NCIC. And this is all, again, it's based on trust, even at the federal level. Trust in our capabilities, trust in that the view is worth the climb in sharing information back with us to make everybody more secure, and then enabling that information to be used in a civil liberties and privacy promoting way to protect everybody else. So the future of CDM is to extend that model, hopefully one day into the private sector, to look at how that could be offered as a cloud service potentially. How do you take these models from an ecosystem concept that was developed probably over 2 years ago at DHS? We are realizing that today. The other programs on the Einstein side, on the perimeter defense, those are alive and well. Those are also feeding us data and protecting federal agencies. And then, of course, again, just to clarify that, enhanced cybersecurity is perimeter defense with a classified countermeasure for private sector that comes through a service provider. And all three of those, where it's legal, so where it's protecting government, share information back with us, and where it's protecting private sector, they are protected by that information from the government, as well as what we can get from private sector through relationships and perhaps through acquisition.